Welcome to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. Thanks for joining us today. We're really believing that you'll benefit from the message that you're about to hear. A big thank you to those of you who share our podcast on social media, and thanks for rating and reviewing us on iTunes. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.
I want you to open your Bibles today to the book of Judges, and I just want to bring an introduction to the word that I'm preaching today. And I've not met many of you, and so I'm married with children, and I have three of my own children. I've got two stepdaughters. I've got grandchildren, step-grandchildren, two foster sons, and one young boy I met on the streets of Fiji as a street boy. And so if you... I collect children, so if he was giving them away, praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, thank you. Would you have a little chair or something I could put it on? Thank you. So I want to read in Judges by way of introduction, just what I want to share today. And Judges chapter 11. Father, we just thank you today that the entrance of your word brings light. And it brings life. And I thank you for your presence in this house, because we gather around you, Jesus. We gather around the presence of Jesus that we felt and we feel so strongly in your worship in this house. We thank you for River's Edge. We thank you for the 15 years of your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. And so when I got saved, I was a single mom, and I'd been through some really, you know, traumatic sort of family life and background. And my dad was a heavy drinker, and my mum wasn't a well woman. She had a nervous breakdown when she was 28 and took her first overdose when I was 12. And so she had three chronic asthmatics, five children, a husband who drank all the money. So my family life was pretty chaotic. And so after getting involved in drugs and things like that, became a single mum. And so I remember one day my little girl was, you know, 2.5, and I was very, very empty. I was very, very, I was not looking for the next party. I was not looking for the next good time, because I'm now raising a child and I didn't fit in anywhere. I didn't fit with my friends that were, you know, I did take my daughter with me to lots of things. I took her to a Bee Gees concert in Brisbane. As an 18-month-old baby, as a blaring concert. I was pretty crazy back then. But I didn't fit in with married people. I didn't fit in anywhere. And I remember chain smoking away. And this day I'd read a lot, because I was so empty. I just had to sort of live in some sort of fantasy, do something to fill the void. You know, I was still smoking dope and just trying to cope with life. And this particular day, my background, I'd been... raised a Catholic, so I had an awareness of God, but I never knew him. This day I was chain smoking, my daughter was having a nap, and I was lying on the bed reading, and all of a sudden this overwhelming emptiness came over me again, and I got off the bed and I slipped down on my knees, and I said, God, if you're real, would you please help me? And then I got up and thought, oh, lucky nobody saw that, how uncool, actually praying. Lucky my friends didn't see that. But you see, I meant it. And God will step over 1,000 half-hearted, wishy-washy country club prayers to reach to a sincere heart. And within 3 weeks, somebody had talked to me about Jesus, and I got born again. And I knelt by my little girl's bed and I said, Lord, if you help me raise this child so she doesn't turn out like I did, so she doesn't take drugs, so she doesn't get her heart broken over and over again, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And I want to say, he's been faithful. Amen. Many years now. I mean, my daughter has two grown-up daughters who also serve and love the Lord. And God is faithful. He is faithful, not just over 10 years, not just over 20 years. He is faithful all your life. Amen. And so that was my coming to the Lord. And so I want to share a revelation this morning, because the greatest thing we can know is that we are loved by God. And not head knowledge, but heart knowledge. because felt truth will change your life. Felt truth will change your life. And so I'm going to just, by way of background, read a story in Judges chapter 11. I'm just going to refer to it. We're not actually going into it too much, but it talks about this guy when war broke out in Israel. And in verse 1 of chapter 11, it says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior, mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a prostitute. And Gilead begot Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bore sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said, 'You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman.' And Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob, and worthless men banded together and went out on raiding parties with him at night." And on it goes, that as he dwelt in the land of Tob, that when war broke out again, they came and got the from the land of Tob, the elders went and got Gilead, and they said, "Come and be our commander, come and lead us." So Jephthah got together and he said, "You threw me out and now you've come to me in distress." And they said, "Be our leader." And as the story goes, he actually led Israel into an incredible victory. And he was a mighty military strategist. He was an incredibly brave man. And he's a hero. But his life started, didn't have a good start. And he says he was the son of a prostitute. And it appears that Gilead had an affair with this prostitute. And when this child was small, she must have come and dumped him on Gilead's doorstep and said, "Here, you raise him, he's your kid." So this little boy comes into a household where everybody hates him. The wife looks at that little boy, and every time she's looking at him, she's reminded her husband is unfaithful, that she's not enough for her husband. She's not good enough. And why should she now raise his problem? The sons probably hate him because the mother's upset. Gilead doesn't stand up for him. You know, they're probably saying, why should Jephthah get presents at Christmas? Why should he, you know, have a bed in Johnny's room? Why does that kid have to be here anyway? And so Jephthah's name means striker or opposer. And rejected people get in and reject you first because they're so used to being rejected. And so this little kid, after all that, and obviously Jephthah's father dies, Gilead, because nobody gets inheritance until a parent dies. And so the father's gone and the inheritance has been given out. And they said, "Don't think you're getting anything." And the devil does not want you to know you have an inheritance. The devil doesn't want you to know that you have a loving father who has an inheritance for you. And he runs. And I want to say God sometimes is in our runnings. He's with us in those trials. And he runs to the land of Tob. Now, I just wanted to give you a prophetic insight here. The word Tob is the word goodness. It's the word favor, bountiful abundance. It's actually the same word you find in Exodus 33 when Moses had got that tremendous promise that Pastor Kathy was talking about. When God says, "My presence will go with you and give you rest." And Moses was so encouraged, he got really bold and he said, "Show me your glory." And Jesus, you know, loved that he wanted to know more about the glory. And he said, "Here, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock and allow all my tobay to go around about you." My goodness, God's glory cannot be separated from his goodness. God wants to bring goodness into your life today. You see, when Jephthah fled to the land of Tob, it was a picture of a land of a revelation of the goodness of God. And getting out from all those old mindsets, and as he dwelt in the land of Tob, we have to have a revelation of how much favor, how much love, how much goodness God has for us. And God's opening up a portal here today. He wants to take you to the land of Tob. Amen? When I was a kid, we used to have Shirley Temple's storybook. All of those that are ancient of days would remember that. And there was a land of green ginger, and I loved it because it was a fabulous floating island where if you got there, life was going to be great. And, you know, I had a struggling home life, but I just loved that picture of the land of green ginger. This is not a fairy story. This is a collection of stories of people, accounts of people who dared to believe the truth of it and to reach out and say, "I want what you have for me, God." To reach beyond the mediocrity of a life and say, "God, I'm joining with you. I'm throwing my lot in with you. And coming to everything you have for me." It's a prophetic picture that Jephthah came out of a land of goodness and became a man of incredible power and might. What changed that the people who asked him to leave come back and ask him to lead? Something shifted in his life. God wants to bring a revelation of such goodness into your life today. But you see, he became an orphan. His father died and his mother didn't want him. And I believe God wants to show you that he often has used people that were orphans. Esther was an orphan. And John Calvin, the great theologian, said, the greatest thing after salvation that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to the church is the spirit of adoption. The second greatest work of the Holy Spirit is the spirit of adoption. So I want to read you a couple of scriptures. We've got one there in Galatians. And Galatians chapter 4. Because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. Since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Amen. The spirit of adoption. What is the spirit of adoption? It's not just the information. It's the thoughts and feelings of emotions that comes with being loved through adoption. It actually says in Ephesians chapter 1 that God planned for you in love before the foundation of the world, that you would be adopted as a dear child of God. It says in Revelation that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The two things that happened before time began was God planned to send Jesus to save us and that we would be adopted into his family. I want to say Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He came to find his family. He came to restore sons and daughters back to the garden, back to the land of goodness, back to a revelation that we have a father. The only thing religion can produce is blinged up orphans. But God wants to break any orphan thinking off our lives. And it says in there's a number of scriptures there that Jesus said in John 14, I will not leave you as orphans. I won't leave you as orphans, but I'll come for you. He said, it's better for me that I go. So I'm going to be able to send the Spirit, the Helper. And I don't know about you, but I would be like the apostles saying, what do you mean, disciples? It's better. We don't want you to go. He said, no, because I can only reach a few thousand, but my Holy Spirit can be with each one of you. I love my kids so much. If I could think of a way to get under their skin. So if they ever had a need, if they were ever lonely, if they were ever in a tight spot, I could be there. I could be there. Guess what? God found a way. God found a way. And he's with us. So I want to just share about what adoption means to you and I. And I want to just share it through a personal story, because God wants to really bring this down deep into our hearts this morning, because faith works by love. And when we know that we're loved, it's easy to believe. And we don't have to work through all the earn and deserve performance-based stuff of religion. The only message religion has is try harder. The message of Christ is, I've done it all. Just come. I've prepared it all for you. So I want to share through a personal adoption, and that's my middle girl, Maddie. And she actually, her and her husband met in church, and after a period of time, you know, they decided they were going to have a family. And so time, you know, went by and things didn't happen. And so I wasn't too worried. And shame to say, I realized there's a lot of medical things that can help in that area. So I prayed, but I wasn't sort of, oh, of course she's going to have children. Of course she's going to have children. But as time went by, and it still wasn't happening. And this, you know, disappointment around her life was quite strong. And after a number of years, you know, they began to talk about adoption. And so after three IVFs failed, each one even being more dramatically in grief, and because I was praying hard by then. I was praying really hard because Maddie is somebody who loves children. Everybody loves her. And so when it came the third failure, and it was just absolutely devastating, that's when they turned to the thought of adoption. And so when they finally decided, they that picked an orphanage in Taipei. And you cannot have your name at all different orphanages. You have to pick one and that's it. And then it comes through the process through the Australian government. And it's quite grueling. And they check out everything. They check out what you spend your money on, where you're living, of course. They want to know the house is safe and everything like that. But you had to be a certain weight. You had to be healthy. And so they'd have to go for medicals every 3 months. And it was really quite crazy because, you know, this pressure was being put upon them. And so before the going to the doctors or the way in, they were jogging, they were drinking shakes. I remember one time Maddie went to the doctor and she said, "Mum, please pray. I'm still like 3 kilos over there, you know, which should be healthy." And so I was praying. And so she went to the doctor. He said, "Okay, jump on the scales." She jumped on the scales and he said, "What is it?" She said, "Mum, I said by faith what it should be." I don't think God wanted what. Anyway, going through all this waiting, and anyway, year after year after year. And I remember being in church one Sunday and with them, and they were there, and I could feel the weight of it. I could feel the disappointment. And as we took communion together, I said, "Maddie, I don't want you to pray anymore. Just say thank God. Keep your confession straight. I'll be praying. I'm going to keep praying." And I was praying by this time, "God, I can't go any further until you give her a child. This is my heart's desire too." And so it was only the next day, Monday, I was at home and my daughter rang up and said, "Mummy, are you sitting down?" And I said, "No, what are you talking about?" She said, "We got the call." I said, "What call are you talking about?" And she said, the call. They matched us with a little boy. He's 18 months old. His name is E-Jan. And they sent through a picture and it's about 6 months red tape. You go over for 2 visits. And so the first thing you have to do is you have to put together a picture book with your pictures where he's going to be living. And it gets translated into Chinese and it gets read to this little boy every night to get him somewhat familiar. And then they Skyped him. I said, "Can I be there when you're Skyping?" He said, "No, Mom, it's just the parents." "So can you video them?" So you're Skyping him. There's this little guy with the little drums and they're trying to, you know, through the Zoom, show him a ball and that. And so this went on. And then they actually get to go over and visit him. And when they bring this little boy into a room and there's toys there and they're just trying to engage him. And he's sort of a bit suspicious of them. And Maddie, in the end, starts talking to him in English. And she's saying to him, "You don't know this, but we're going to take you to a land. We're taking you home. You're going to be loved like there's no tomorrow. And you're going to be our little boy. And we're going to be your forever mummy and your forever daddy." Now, it's just gone over his head. And sometimes we read scriptures. "And I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with age-old loving kindness do I draw you to myself." And sometimes we don't get it. Information doesn't get in down deep into our hearts. And so after about 40 minutes, he goes and puts his little backpack on, his hat on, he's waiting by the door for the person to come and take him back to the orphanage. And so there is a court case involved where his name is changed legally, and they get challenged and saying, "Do you agree to raise this child to fully inherit everything with any other siblings that he would have?" "I do." Do you agree to look after him for the rest of his life and take full responsibility?" "I do." And so they got to take him out, and then you go back home and wait for the thing to be ratified. And then comes the time when he's brought home. And so I wanted to show you a slide and just give you some understanding about the spirit of adoption. You know, the cost is a lot. It costs quite a bit of money. I want to say it cost Jesus the blood, the Father, the blood of his own son. That was the cost. Anyone seen that movie Ransom? Where Mel Gibson gets on the TV and his son's being kidnapped. The ransom was like $20 million. The ransom for you wasn't $40 million. It was the death of somebody that your rescue could happen. So I want to just start. This is the first picture we got of E-Jan. And that's sort of had empty eyes. Hey, we blew that picture up. We put it on the fridge. And the Bible says that before you were born, God knew you. Amen. Next one. That's him looking at the picture book. That's him. That's the adoption party we had, the celebration. That's all the cousins. That's my daughter Madeline, my eldest grandchild, and my other granddaughters. They're all just waiting, and Maddie, for the cousin they're going to have come. Next one. And this is in Taipei. This is Yijian meeting Kane, and Kane trying to connect with him. Next picture. That took him out for the day, the first day out. Next picture. Next one. So here he is, ready to go on a plane. He's going to fly from Taipei to Singapore, and then 10 hours home to Brisbane. Just stop there. But there he is in the Parramatta Eels colours. Our first glimpse of him. And next picture. And that's us waiting at the airport. Is they going to call him Jack? And, you know, that's just a small group. But the Bible says all of heaven's rejoicing. All of heaven's rejoicing when one sinner finds Christ, when one child of God gets adopted. You may not have known it, but all of heaven was so excited. We've got Betty. We've got Grace. We've got Jennifer. He had no idea what was happening. But that was us celebrating him coming to Australia. Next picture. For the joy set before him. See the joy on their face. They have a son. Next picture. I get my first nurse as grandma. Next picture. Meeting the family. You have a family. So when you're a child of God, this is your family. Amen? We're not church, plain church. We're a family. Next picture. There he is going off to church. Now the pastor bought him that tie. Sorry, it was a bit nerdy, but anyway. Next picture, outside church. Next picture. Yep, next picture. Now that is the face of a son. That's the face of a son. No more empty eyes. He's got a daddy. He's got a father. Next picture. Next picture. He's got a father. And for his pleasure, you were created. You weren't created to be a religious person that goes through formulas and religious duty. He's looking for relationship. He wants you to be loved. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. Next picture. And for the rest of his life, there is a plan from the father and the mother to take care of him for the rest of his life. He got a new name, which was Jack. And his name was Yijian, so they couldn't give it a second name because he would have been Jack Yijian. So it's Jack Kane Yijian. And so, when he first came, he would just, squirrel food into his high chair. And his first English word he had to learn, well, he learned, was more, more, more. And they had to teach him slow down, slow down. When he came, he would steal things and hide them. So they actually had to give him a cupboard to put his contraband in. Jack's cupboard. Orphans don't know where the next meal's come. Orphans don't think they're going to get looked after. Orphans worry about the future. An orphan spirit will mistrust. So they actually had to give him this cupboard. And when he would go to sleep at night, they have to sleep in your bed for 6 months to bond. I think sometimes when we get saved, we don't bond enough. When I got saved, because I'd been used to being a Catholic, it was like, Kiki, Jesus, you saved me. Now I'm going to show you. I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to be the best Christian. And I don't know if I took the time to bond. I just went into works for a few years. God wants us to bond, to attach. After about 6 months, they're in a little bed by your bed, and Jack's in this little bed, and Maddie hears a noise one night, and she goes, she thought she heard a noise, and she goes in, and he's crying, but he's crying silently. His little jama top's all wet. He's been crying. And she says, Jack, you've got to call out. Call out. Call out for Daddy. Call out Mummy. You show me. And he says, Daddy, Mummy. She says, no, Jack, you've got to use your big voice. In church, we've got to use our big voice. Abba! We've got to call on God with faith and with expectation, because he loves being your father. He didn't want a slave. He wanted a child. Amen. And you were created by him. And so here he is. And next picture, this is a picture of evangelism, going back to the orphanage and getting another brother, getting another child, rescuing another orphan and bringing them to the Father. Amen. So that's Shishuan, who's now called Max. Next picture. So the love keeps going around. Next picture. God wants you to know that it was for relationship you and I were made. And sometimes God has to break off old mindsets. And people love Jesus. They come to the salvation. But when you talk about the Father, sometimes it draws a blank because of wrong fathering. Just different styles. Maybe you've had a very austere, stern father, reserved father, and you were a noisy, sanguine kid. I know that was what I was like. I had a very angry father. I had a father that I didn't understand because he was such an angry man. And around the age of 14, I'd made a decision that my father doesn't ever let me do what I want to do, so I'm not going to ask him again. My dad came over for work one day, and he said, I was dressed up to go to my friend's place. And my father said, what's wrong? What's with that girl, Betty? And she said, oh, I don't know. I don't know what to do with her. You know, she says she's going out to see her friends. And I just walked past my dad and I eyeballed him as if to say, don't you dare tell me what to do. I walked out of that house. I opened up my heart to a spirit of rebellion. And I never had a good relationship with my father until many years later. He was such an angry man, he never talked to me once for 11 months in the same household. So when I came to the Lord, it was hard to actually feel the love of a father. So I believe God wants to open up today a table of blessing. He wants to take you to the land of Tob, the land of goodness, and he wants to actually release the Father's blessing and heal areas of old names, you know, even labels. Rejected isn't your label. I remember when Jack was learning English and he came to my place for dinner and he was going around the room and he was saying, you know, Nai Nai, that's Chinese for grandma, just still calls me. And, you know, granddad and Diddy for dad. And then he, mummy, and then he pointed to himself and he said, mummy's baby. I knew he was coming through. I knew he was changing, mummy's baby. And I saw this little boy go from being so fearful and so unsure of himself. In fact, at his birthday, I heard he wanted a Thomas the Tank Engine superstation, but he'd seen it at Woolworths. And Maddie said, oh, no, that's a big present for maybe Christmas or something. And but I found out he wanted it. So it was his birthday. I got it, put it under a sheet, hid it in my office. And when he came over, I actually said, oh, it's your birthday, Jack. Let's go and look for your present. So we look here, we look there. And I took him into the room I had it, and I lifted up the sheet and I said, oh, what's this? And Cain, his father, was standing in the doorway and his eyes lit up. And he turned to his father and he said, Daddy, would you get me one? I said, Jack, this is for you. And his eyes got big. So we brought it out in the lounge and he just sat in front of it. And all of a sudden he jumps up and he starts dragging it to the door. I'm still not sure whether this is going to, I'm going to make sure I get it out of the house. He's still learning. But there came a time when it was Jack's house, Jack's car. Sit with him in the toy catalog and say, what do you want for Christmas, Jack? And go, you want to something? Oh, good. And he go, oh, that too. Oh, that too. Whoa. You got over that. You see, God wants to heal our hearts. He wants us to have a boldness that children that are really loved and know they're being cared for. Children don't, you know, children that are loved don't worry about the future. Don't worry whether your needs are going to be met. And today, I believe God wants to release the Father's blessing in this house. He wants to open up a table and bring you to the Father's table. I had a dream once. I had two dreams. One dream I had was about Maddie when she went over to Taipei to pick up Jack. And when she got there in the dream, she got a 12-year-old boy and she's trying to, well, so I was getting a baby and she's trying to carry this 12-year-old boy. And I woke up, I thought, Lord Jesus, what's that dream about? And he said to me, in the coming of this 2-year-old, I'm going to give her back the 10 years she waited. I'm going to give her back. God can give you back those years. Whatever disappointment. God always wanted to have a child. But this is the child he wanted her to have. She had to wait. Amen. Second dream I had was a bunch of acrobats, absolutely agile and tumbling and everything. And all of a sudden I noticed that they were handicapped. And instead of legs, they had little peg legs. And they were absolutely incredibly agile. But there was a table in front of them that they couldn't reach. And sometimes we go through life, we're very capable, and religion can make you perform and do things very well, but God says, I want to bring you to the table. And he wants to break off handicaps that are mindsets, that I'm not good enough. The old rejections of the past, the old labels, the old names, and God wants to release the Father's blessing. Could I have the music come and I just want to, right now, if we could stand someone on the keyboard, that would be good. I certainly don't know everybody here. And I heard a story of a plane that went down in the US many years ago, down near the West Coast. And this plane that crashed, on a highway, they were trying to ascertain what happened, and they found a little girl that was wandering the highway near the highway, and they actually worked out through the flight, plan that she had been a passenger. And as they put together the flight, box and worked out what could have happened, they ascertained this. And as that plane had engine trouble, and as the plane began to descend and the wings were catching fire, the motors, that the mother must have unstrapped herself from her seatbelt and knelt in front of her little girl and strapped and wrapped herself around her child. And as the plane began to break up and the fire grew around her, she hung on. And that little child was spared because the mother wrapped herself around that child and protected her. Jesus Christ wrapped himself around a cross to rescue you and I. And whether we recognize the depth of his love and the greatness of his sacrifice, today, the Bible says if you hear his voice, you can receive that very salvation. And so if you were to die tonight and you're not sure where you would go, it's not like God would say, oh, well, you didn't rob a bank, you didn't kill anybody, come on in. If we've sinned even one time, but told a lie, if we got angry, sin can't enter heaven, it would destroy it. The only thing that washes away sin is the precious blood of Jesus and a new heart. And today, God wants to freely give you a new heart and to wipe away every sin. And if you were to die tonight, your name would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is the only thing I'm going to ask you to do. If you're not sure, maybe you've been in church like I did, but you not have the opportunity to ask Jesus into your heart. And today, all I'm going to ask you to do, if that's you today, with no one looking around, that you would slip up your hand till I see it, then I'm just going to get you to put it down. And that's all I'm going to ask you to do, because Jesus will never violate your free will. Not one of us are going to be frog marched into heaven. It's a free choice, and he will respect your choice. But he says, if you honor me before men, I'll honor you before my Father in heaven. So if that's you, I'm just going to look across the next 30 seconds. Just slip up your hand. You would like to, God bless you, sir. That's awesome. You can put your hand down. Anyone else here wants to join this precious man? You're not sure and you would like to today accept Jesus and say, Jesus, today I receive your salvation. Okay. Well, we're going to pray together out loud. And if you were going to put your hand up, you're a bit shy, I want you to pray this from your heart. We're going to pray it together with you right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I open up the door of my life and I ask you to come in to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I receive you now. And thank you, Jesus, that I belong to you and you belong to me. And I thank you, Lord, that you said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Amen. Father, I just pray for every person to pray that right now. And I say, Lord, let them know the deep, deep love of Jesus. They know the presence of God is walking out of this building with them, that you're in their heart today, and you'll never, never, never leave them or forsake them. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, I want to just give you opportunity. If there's been some areas where you've said, I just want the depth of God's love. Just want that assurance of the Father's heart. I just want to receive the Father's blessing this morning. And if that's you today, he's got a table spread. And I think Pastor Captain said, if you're going through troubles, there's a table being spread. Whatever you're going through, he's already gone before you. He's with you in it. And so this morning, I want everyone just to raise your hands right now. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this house, this amazing house. And I thank you for the Father's blessing over this house, that this is a family. This is not only a company of people, but a family. Mums and dads, sons and daughters, families coming together to belong to your family. That each one is a son and daughter of the living God. If the Lord would say, surely know that I'm gathering many to this place. And there are many that have been wounded in the house of their friends. They have had even that spirit of religion trying to hinder them. And God says, there's many that are going to come to this place and receive the fresh word of the Lord. For God says, the word of the Lord will be rich in this house. And many are going to not only receive salvation, but this will be a house of healing. This will be a house of blessing. This will be a house of freedom. And I just want to pray for Pastor Luke and Pastor Kathy. And the Lord says, son and daughter, know that the river's edge is going to also produce a cutting edge in people's lives. For many will come that said that I've lost my accent. I've lost my cutting edge. I've lost my way. And people are going to be restored even to that first love. They're going to be restored to their calling, their destiny. They're going to find, they get a handle on a fresh breakthrough in their lives. Excuse me. For this will be a house of breakthrough, says God. Hallelujah. So God says, get ready. For even there's coming not just a trickle, there's coming a flood. There's coming up an opening up even of a river of flowing grace. It will be a house of grace. And it will be a house of sung prayer. It will be a house of worship. It will be a house where many are going to find their place. And they're going to run their race. So the Lord says, know that I'm not only gathering those that will run with the footman. I'm gathering those who will ride with the horsemen. And this will be a house of supernatural manifestations. And where my spirit is going to be manifest in mighty ways. The Lord says, know that I'm adding families. I'm adding children. I'm adding many to this house. This is a sure house. This is a strong house. This is a Davidic house. And it's a house of promise. So the Lord says, it's not an orphanage. It's a family. And many that have had an orphan spirit, many that have been wounded by the religious system are going to come here and find freedom and find their place. So God says, this day, know that the anointing that I've put upon your lives is not only for this house, but many others are going to come. And I see retired ministers. I see people that have even been in ministry and then they've decided to step out for a time and they're going to come here. This will be a place of refreshing and restoration, says the Lord. So God says, son and daughter, I've raised you up that you might raise up a standard, and I'm unfurling my banner over this place. Jehovah Nissi, your breakthrough God. The Lord says, I'm bringing breakthrough in families, in finances. I'm bringing breakthrough in marriages. And God says that this will be not only a family church, but it will be a breakthrough church. And it will be a house of prayer. And God says, many are going to know what it is to touch heaven and see the earth around them change. Because I am the God who answers prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.